one. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for life, for liberation, for hope, and for tangible change to come as a result of this message, which really is a message of life and death. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to receive. Give us a will to respond. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you told me 3 years ago that I would write a book co-authored with my wife, Nancy, on breaking the stronghold of food, I would have thought it was an April Fool's joke. It is April 1st today, but this is no joke. If God could help me make a change in this area, he could help anyone. I was the poster boy for unhealthy eating my entire life until 2.5 years ago. I used to eat Oreos for breakfast as a boy growing up. When I taught at a Bible school on Long Island from 1983 to 1987, there was a fabulous pizzeria right nearby. And as a New Yorker, I knew good pizza. And it was 2 miles from the school. And we estimated that in my time teaching in that school and those 4 years when I lived there, we estimated I ate 3,000 slices of pizza at that one pizzeria. I was not so much a glutton as an unhealthy eater. So whatever I say tonight, please hear me. This is a no condemnation zone, all right? This is a no embarrassment zone. Some people have struggled all their lives with food, with unhealthy eating, and there are many reasons why we can develop bad habits, and some it's all that we've known, and some are overweight because of a trauma in their life and fighting depression. The last thing we want to do is make someone feel bad or guilty, but we want to help. And we want to talk about the importance of transforming our relationship to food. And you'll actually see that this is a scriptural issue. And I was talking to a friend of mine who prays for the sick and has a ministry of healing the sick. And I said to him, for every one person that gets healed through your prayers, 1,000 people will get healed if they change their lifestyles. This really is a life and death issue. We want to help you tonight. First, let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. I'm going to read some scripture. I want to tell you my own story, and you can laugh at me as I tell you my story. And then I want to give you some practical principles that can help bring about a radical change in your life. Paul writes here, verse 24, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And go back to verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. When we read those verses, we put the emphasis on the type of crowns that we receive. An athlete trains. An athlete is disciplined. They work so hard. They sweat. They sacrifice. For what? For an earthly gold medal. For an earthly crown. But we, as we serve the Lord, we receive a crown that will last forever. Yes, that is what Paul's saying. But notice what he says. They are disciplined in all things. They do it to receive an earthly crown. But we do it. What? We are disciplined in all things also. Part of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul describes in his list in Galatians 5 is self-control. And Paul speaks about others, false teachers, and he says their God is their stomach. And when you read the scriptures, the few times it mentions gluttons, it's always in a negative context of being decadent and destructive and out of control. Unfortunately, So much of our American lifestyle is unhealthy. The culture in which we're raised is unhealthy. Our foods are unhealthy. What surrounds us is unhealthy. Dr. Joel Fuhrman, who's an expert in these areas and whose guidelines we follow, said that we're digging our own graves with our knives and forks. So this is something that we don't want to just ignore and say, well, we want to be spiritual. We want to talk about spiritual things. This is spiritual. And as we gain the mastery of it spiritually, we can see transformation in the natural. And then that natural transformation can help us minister much more effectively to others in the spirit. I don't know if you have pictures before and after. If you do, you can put them up. But August, there we go. August 24th of 2014, I weighed about 275 pounds. I'm a big guy. I work out. I might have looked like some burly football player, but the fact of the matter is, speaking about me, I was obese. I was fat, and I was bothered by it because I thought, this is not in harmony with the way I live the rest of my life. I live a disciplined life. I lead a serious life. I'm disciplined in all these ways, but I've got these miserable eating habits, and I'm addicted to certain foods. I'm a chocoholic, and I thought, that's not right. It's not conducive to how I live. And people didn't point it out and say, Mike, you should lose weight. But I was aware of it. And there were other issues. And this is why my wife, Nancy, was really praying. You can put her pictures up before and after. Nancy had made her own radical lifestyle change. And she had seen the health benefits of it. And for her, she had really been paralyzed by being overweight. It affects everybody differently. It didn't slow me down a drop in terms of preaching and ministering and doing what I was doing. But she was terribly embarrassed by being overweight and so paralyzed by it. She was aches and pains from head to toe. And even though she's about a foot shorter than me, she's about 5'3", she got up to about 200 pounds. And I never thought she weighed that much. And hey, I loved her anyway. She's beautiful to me anyway. But she hated being overweight and was just getting run down and thought, I am hurting my health seriously and I need to make a change. And she had made a radical change in her whole lifestyle. But we knew it would never work for me because I was too much of a food wimp. We knew it never worked for me because all the foods that she was eating, the healthy foods, I didn't like. And all the foods I liked, I wouldn't be able to eat anymore. And plus, I'm on the road constantly, so there's no possibility of me making the changes she made. But as we got into 2014, I remember telling her, you know, I'm getting run down. I was getting 3 to 4 headaches every single week. I had constant lower back pain. I had severe sleep apnea, so wherever I'm traveling around the world, I had to bring a breathing machine with me. And here I am in some small hotel in India trying to find an outlet to plug in the breathing machine at night. I mean, it's just what I'm living with. My cholesterol had always been a little high, but the bad was always way too high and the good was low. And I thought, you can't play with this. And my blood pressure got as high as 149 over 103. And Nancy was praying. She thought, you're crazy the way you're living. You push so hard. I would work out heavily. And she said, you're playing with fire. You got high blood pressure. You're overweight. You're playing with fire. And I remember sitting talking with her and I said, you know, I'm getting tired as I think about the future. I was 59. I'm getting tired. I live with this incredible optimism. I can't wait for the next day and the next ministry opportunity and the next debate and the next thing we're doing and the next trip overseas. I live with this incredible optimism and energy, but I was getting worn out. It's the first time she ever heard me talk with anything less than tremendous optimism for the future. So she was crying out to God on her end. And she was saying, God, help Mike. And she was saying, God, give me ideas of food I can give him because he's such a food wimp. And I was praying. I said, God, I got to make a change. I've got to make a change. I didn't know she was crying out. She didn't know I was crying out. I sat down with her August 23rd, and I said to her, my plan is not working. You see, I always figured, well, if I just have a little less M&Ms here, if I just work out a little bit more here, and, you know, if I was gonna get say go to Dairy Queen and get a chocolate extreme blizzard, you know, and you know, I'd skip a meal so to balance it out for having that, you know, and one less slice of pizza here if I was going to have Ben and Jerry's New York Super Fudge chunk that night, you know, and I thought, okay, my plan is not working. It's been years, and as I'm getting older, the way I ate years ago is not working now, and I'm getting heavier. And I'm always looking at the trajectory. If I keep living like this another year, another 5 years, another 10 years, where is it going? What's it going to look like? And I thought, you know, I've got clothes that fit me. If I'm a little bit lighter, I get clothes that fit me here. And now the fat clothes are getting tight. And I thought, I'm not getting other clothes. I said to her, my plan is not working. She said to me, just eat what I give you. Now, bear in mind, in the months ahead, I was going to go to Singapore for 2 weeks. I was going to go to Hungary for 4 or 5 days. I was going to go to India and to Malaysia. So I was going to have a lot of overseas trips, plus trips around the States. How in the world am I going to sustain any of this? But I knew I had to make a change. So August 24th, 2014, I started a brand new way of living. Less than eight months later, I had lost 95 pounds, not by dieting, but by transforming my relationship to food and completely getting rid of all the bad stuff and eating only good stuff without deviation by the grace of God. And when people ask me, when Pastor Wes picked me up at the airport last year and he said to me, how often do you cheat? I said, how often do you cheat on your wife? Hey, if it's wrong, if it's destructive, it's unhelpful, why cheat? Why play games with it? Less than 8 months, I lost 95 pounds. My cholesterol went down to 123. Blood pressure went down to 100 over 65. Haven't had a headache in 2.5 years. Lower back pain disappeared. And I no longer need a breathing machine for sleep apnea. My energy level is off the charts. My immune system radically transformed. And by God's grace, I'm not looking back or turning back or experimenting with what would happen if I tasted a peanut M&M. But hear me. It was harder for me to give up chocolate than to give up heroin. I'm not exaggerating. I was a heroin shooting, LSD using, rebellious hippie rock drummer when Jesus saved me in 71, and I got radically, wonderfully set free and changed. But when it came to food, I knew I was gonna go cold turkey, so I got rid of all the junk. No chocolate, no breads, no this, no that, all the stuff I ate all the time, none of it. And I went through 3 miserable days of withdrawal. I remember just feeling lousy all the time, and I thought, okay, this is good because it means toxins are leaving my body. This is good because it means bad stuff is leaving my body that shouldn't be in there. Poisons are leaving my body. This is not stuff I should be having. And I thought, hey, I'm 1.5 days into this. If I quit now, next time I start, I got to do it again. And what makes me think I'm going to do it again? And the third night, I got hold of God, and I prayed, and I said, Jesus, when you set me free from drugs, you were so real to me. You so filled my life. I didn't care about any of this stuff. I didn't care about drugs. I didn't want, you were so real to me. I said, surely you're more real to me than a chocolate donut. Surely the power of the Spirit is greater than the power of M&Ms. And I cried out to God. I got free that night. And now the next problem was renewing my mind, changing the way I related to food. Every day, Nancy would send me another testimony of someone's life transformed by the changing their lifestyle and changing their diet. And she'd send me quotes from Dr. Furman just to encourage. I mean, just simple things like you'll never fulfill the purposes and goals for your life if you're chronically sick or dead. Just simple things like that, reminders. And then I started to think about everything in life. And nothing had any meaning with it if it didn't involve food. I began to think about it and said, well, wait a second. Why go on vacation if you can't eat whatever you want to eat? And why take the grandkids to a family movie if I can't get nonpareils and popcorn? And why go to the airport if I can't get Sbarro's pizza and TCBY yogurt? And why do I want to fly on this flight going to India if I can't get the pretzel rolls? And I thought, well, everything in life is about food. I realized food was my reward. See, everybody eats for different reasons. Some are just gluttons. You just love food, and you eat because you love food. You're addicted to it. Some eat, you know, you're depressed and discouraged, and you eat. You know, someone stops smoking cigarettes, and they put on 20 pounds because they substitute one habit with another. But for me, food was my reward. And I had to understand it to break the stronghold. And I remember thinking, okay, you know, when I get to a hotel, because I'm on the road all the time, and sometimes when you arrive at the hotel, they have fresh baked chocolate chip cookies there. Well, that's like a gift from God. You'd be a bad steward. I mean, I think I'd be a bad steward. They're free. They're at the hotel. I'd be a bad steward not to eat it. And I finished preaching. Maybe it's a Sunday. I preach, you know, 2-3 services in the morning and then another service at night. And then you get back to the hotel. What do? Well, I'm not going to put on some unclean movie. I'm not going to get high. I'm not going to sin. But you eat. Heat up some nice popcorn. Maybe order a pizza. And just that's the reward. You earned it. And then I write most nights. I write all night. So here, as I'm writing, what do? Well, eat, snack. Have some pretzels, have some jelly beans, have some more pretzels, have chocolate ice cream. Hey, and that's part of the reward, part of the perk of writing all night. So I had to say, no. Food is the fuel for life. I'm not living to eat, I'm eating to live. The reward of life is life, not food. Food is the fuel to life. Think of it. You eat a meal, how long does it take? How long does it take to eat your meal? Think of it. I mean, maybe 20 minutes, maybe a half hour. Sometimes you guzzle it down 5-10 minutes, and then you've got to pay the price of that meal the rest of the day. And then as you start to get older and your body starts to break down because you haven't been putting healthy stuff in it, you're paying the price for those few minutes of pleasure. And there's nothing spiritually that we relate to in that way. We know that you discipline yourself rather than have the few minutes of pleasure for years of pain. You know, the person, they commit adultery, they have that excitement and the thrill, but then they destroy their marriage. Or the person goes out and gets drunk and then gets killed in a car wreck. You think it's not worth it, but we do it with food. And the problem with food is that we need it to live, and we're surrounded by it all the time. I was flying somewhere the other day, I think coming back from California, and they offered me a meal. I said, no, I'm good, no thanks. And at first they come by with the nuts, the salted nuts. I said, no, I got my own. Just had some unsalted raw nuts with me. Great, I'll have those. Then time for the meal. No, I got a salad. I'm good. I don't want that. And then they come by now with the rolls, and pretzel rolls somehow are my favorite. They put it right in my face. You want them? No, you sure? Right in my face. And then after that, when it's all done, some of the most delectable looking chocolate cake I've ever seen on a plane. So you want dessert? No, are you sure? They put it in front of my face. And I was thinking, you know, when I got free from drugs, no one was coming up to me. Like if I was flying somewhere, say, no one's coming up to me saying, you want some ecstasy? Some cocaine? Are you sure? Here it is. Here's the needle, sir, for your heroin. No, but with food, there it is. And you just go to a restaurant, and the portions are massive. I mean, the desserts, it takes 3 people to bring it out. You know, death by chocolate. Sir, would you like to try our chocolate suicide cake? This is part of our culture. So it's challenging. It's hard. That's why I said the last thing you'll get from me is any type of condemnation or criticism. This is challenging, and it's lifelong habits. But I want to tell you that God's grace can help us overcome the stronghold of food, just like everything else. If we can talk about God's grace to overcome pornography, God's grace to overcome depression, God's grace to overcome fear, God's grace to overcome alcoholism, then we can have God's grace to overcome gluttony. We can have God's grace to overcome food addictions. We can have God's grace to help us live a disciplined, self-controlled life. And once you do it for a while, wow, the rewards that kick in are wonderful and massive. And then you don't have the old cravings anymore. You don't have the old desires anymore. When we do our typical dieting, the reason we fail is because we cut back on the addiction rather than cut it out. So you always feel deprived because you're always not having what you want to have, and you're still feeding the addiction. When you cut it out entirely, get free from it, and then feed yourself with healthy stuff, that's all you want. That's what you desire. And then you have the benefits of it. You think, why would I go back to the old way? Every time I see people eating the foods they used to eat, which is all the time because I'm invited to restaurants all the time and I'm on the road all the time and all kinds of settings, I think, hey, it may work for you, but it didn't work for me. I was there. I did that. Didn't work for me. And I wouldn't trade the way I feel and what I'm experiencing now for anything. Let me tell you about something that happened to me early on, and then I want to give you some practical tips. And we'll even do a quick little analysis to see if you qualify as being a food addict. So it was about 2.5 weeks into my new lifestyle. I was enjoying life. I wasn't feeling deprived. I was starting to see some of the benefits. The weight was starting to come off. I was immediately starting to feel some things were different. Many take months before you feel the full benefit and reap the full benefit. But I was positive. I was good. I'd come home from doing radio. I took a short nap. And then I was going to teach a night class. And somehow when I woke up from the nap, just 2.5 weeks into this, I really wanted something sweet. And I thought, okay, I've read about this, and this is good. a sweet tooth is good when you satisfy it with fruits and healthy things like that. Good. Just natural fruits of the things that God gave. Well, somehow, we didn't have any fruit in the house. For whatever reason, we had no fruit in the house. And I had to get to a class. I didn't have time to go to a grocery store and things like that. And I said, you know what? On the way there, there's a gas station. There's a convenience store. And the other day in a convenience store, I saw cut up pieces of watermelon. Maybe they have that. Now, I have to tell you, this is the first time in my life I ever went to a convenience store looking for cut up pieces of watermelon. Otherwise, it would be scouring the candy aisle and then mixing it with this or that, or what do I want to get? And it was daily. Again, I was an addict with this stuff. So I looked, and there's no cut-up watermelon. There's no fruit of any kind. There's no apples, nothing. It's like, oh, man, what am I going to do? I need to get something in my system. It was this weird thing. I had to have something. What am I going to do? So I looked at the juices, and Nancy had said, you know, you want to avoid certain juices. You know, most of the juices have sugars and things like that and other junk in them. So I'm looking, is there any healthy juice? And I see these juices, you know, naked juices. And okay, maybe that looks like the most healthy. So I got one of those, and I drank half of it. And now I'm pulling up to the parking lot to teach my class on Jesus Revolution. And as I'm driving up to the parking lot, I get completely overwhelmed. I thought, I can't live the rest of my life like this. What, you're never gonna have another slice of pizza the rest of your life? You're never gonna have another piece of chocolate the rest of your life? You're never gonna eat this the rest of your life? And I have a little meat, you know, once a week, a little grilled meat, and again, I'm thriving. I don't feel deprived at all. But I'm just telling you, this is what I was going through at that moment. I hit a wall. I had a complete meltdown. And I'm sitting there in my car, literally 2 minutes before the class, in the parking lot. Literally 2 minutes. And it's all in the book. I tell the story. And by the way, when you get Breaking the Stronghold of Food, far and away the best part of the book is Nancy keeps chiming in with her viewpoint, with her wisdom along the way. So I'll be speaking, and then she weighs in. Far and away the best part of the book. And then she tells her whole story at the end of it. So here's what happens. I'm sitting there in the car, and I completely melt down. And I start crying like a baby in my car. And I'm tears streaming down my cheeks. I said, oh God, I can't. And think of what babies we are when it comes to food. Here I am, man of God, Dr. Brown, about to teach on Jesus Revolution. I'm sitting there, I can't eat like this the rest of my life. And two things were happening simultaneously. On the one hand, I really hit bottom. I had my crisis. I hit the wall. On the other hand, I was watching myself from the outside, laughing at myself, literally thinking, this is the best thing that could happen to you, because when you hit bottom, when you come to the end of yourself, you discover the grace of God. How many times have we had that happen? And I wiped the tears from my eyes. I was about to teach on one thing, and I just felt the Spirit say, no, go in this direction. I walked in, you know, taught my class like normal, and that was the one and only crisis. That was it. I hit bottom. I hit that breaking point. God's grace kicked in. And maybe, literally, in 2.5 years, maybe I've had one or two minor struggles where I just felt a little bothered that, hey, it's a little hard. I'm at this airport 12 hours, and there's nothing I can eat and so on. I'm talking about minor. Otherwise, I thrive day and night. I don't feel deprived. I don't feel I'm sacrificing, because that's something that bothered me through the years. So when I diet, I feel deprived. And I thought, I'm under enough pressure in life, and there's enough burdens to carry in ministry. I don't need this extra burden of feeling deprived anymore. But when my whole lifestyle changed, whoa, instead of feeling deprived, I thrive. So I hit bottom. I hit breaking point. But by God's grace, that's when everything changed. And a good place to start is just say, God, I'm weak. I have a real issue when it comes to food. Be honest. Start there. In fact, let me give you a quick little quiz here. Let's just go through this. Let's look at 10 ways to know if you're a food addict. Because we all know that we shouldn't have addictions. We all know that this is not in the best interest. So can we take a look at those? Do we have those ready? Yes, there we are. All right, so number one, you can check yourself on this. The thought of giving up your favorite unhealthy food or foods for an extended period of time, like a week or a month, is almost terrifying to you. Number two, you have a negative emotional reaction when you go without your favorite unhealthy food or foods. Number three, if you don't have your daily coffee or sweets or other habitual foods, you get headaches and even experience withdrawal symptoms. Number four, you know that if you ate differently, you'd be healthier and would likely live longer, but you're not willing to change. Number five, you've lost weight in the past, perhaps many times, only to gain it all back again. Number six, you're embarrassed about being overweight, but find yourself unable to change your diet for any length of time. Number seven, you deceive others about your food choices, keeping a hidden stash of your favorite forbidden foods or eating them when no one is watching. Ooh. Number eight, you make excuses for your bad eating habits in ways you'd never do for other areas of your life that are undisciplined. Number nine, you have physical cravings for certain foods and you need to eat them to satisfy those cravings. Number 10, you live in denial concerning your bad eating habits, blaming others or minimizing your problems or claiming that God is fine with your unhealthy diet. Now, if any one of those 10 applied, I'd say you're a food addict. For me, I was 10 out of 10 in the past. Every one of those applied to me in the past. In fact, you know about having stashes and stuff? So as our daughters were growing up, some friends had given us as a holiday gift some special chocolates, and we said, you know, we're going to put them in the pantry, and we're going to save them until we have guests over. So we told the kids, that's off limits. You can't eat that. So I wasn't going to have it. Nancy wasn't going to have it. The kids weren't going to have it. So after a few days went by, Nancy said to me, you've been eating the chocolates. I said, not me. I haven't touched them. We agreed. No one's touching them. I said, I thought you were eating the chocolates. She said, no, we agreed. No one's touching them. So we knew immediately it was our older daughter. We knew it wasn't our younger. We knew it was our older daughter. She was the only one getting in trouble. So we said, all right, we're going to have to call her because we said explicitly, no one touches those. So, you know, she broke the rules. We're going to have to talk to her about it. And I said to Nancy, before we talk to Jen, can I got to show you something. So we walked into my study, and I opened the desk drawer, and there I had Oreos stashed. I had my secret stash. So I wasn't touching the chocolate there because we agreed no sweets in the house, but I had a secret stash because, after all, I could drive in the car, and Jen couldn't. She was too little. I could drive in the car, buy something secretly, and hide it in the house so I could have my stash. I said, hon, I feel a little funny punishing Jen for doing this when I got my secret stash. She said, come here. I got to show you something. And we went upstairs to the bedroom, and she opened up her hutch, and there she had Reese's Pieces hidden there. That's what addicts do. And then we make our excuses. We were talking to a pastor once, a dear brother who had type 2 diabetes. This is a pastor. And Nancy said to him, you know, if you went totally vegan, that can be completely reversed. He said, I know, but I hate veggies. I'm thinking that you're playing with your health. I talked to another Christian leader, a man about my age, a cancer survivor. He said, the doctor told me the particular type of cancer I have, that if I'll go vegan, if I'll avoid meats and eat healthily, he said, guaranteed this cancer will never come back. He said, but if you go back to eating meats and things like that, only 70% chance it'll never come back. He said, yeah, I know, but I like meat. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be men and women of the Spirit, men and women of discipline. And yet we say, yeah, I know I could be healthier. I know I could live longer. I know I could have more energy. I know I could serve others more. I know I could be here for my family for years to come if I change my diet, but I like my food. All right, no condemnation, but we need to admit it. We need to be honest. And the place where you start is to say, okay, I have a problem with food. Whether it's gluttony, whether it's food addiction of a different kind, whether it's all kinds of emotional eating, if you know it's unhealthy, if you know it's hurting you long time, if you're embarrassed by it, if you have sicknesses and other problems because of it, no condemnation, but say, okay, I need help. Remember, Jesus said he didn't come for the healthy, but for the sick. So let's start here. It's a stronghold all through America, and it's especially a stronghold in the church. Why? Because everything we do is around food. Our fellowship dinners, our potluck dinners, our hangout times, it's all around food. You know, we don't live the party scene and the worldly scene in that way, but we just replace it with food. One brother from Ghana was visiting a friend of mine in the States, and he was here for about a week, And he went to every meeting that this brother went to, church meetings, fellowship meetings, different things. And he said, no wonder God's not moving in your country. He said, all we do is fast, all you do is feast. It's part of our culture. We need to renew our minds in terms of our relationship with food. We need to think of serving God with life and vigor and joy and vitality. And think of that as the great reward, and then food is the fuel. You know, I turned 62 a couple of weeks ago, and my trainer that will put me through rigorous routines when he's in town and I'm in town, he gave me an exercise to do of 1,400 reps, seven different exercises, including 200, so it's 200 reps of everything, seven different exercises, and included in the midst of it is 200 push-ups and 200 jump squats, so for those who know what those are, pretty rigorous stuff. So I did it when I turned 62, I timed it. I'm sure my form was lousy, but I was going to keep moving through it. And then I did it when I was 62, and I improved on my time. So I did this thing with 1,400 reps, including 200 push-ups, 200 jump squats. I did it under 20 minutes. I am thriving. Obviously, our lives are in God's hands, and we can be taken out of here tomorrow. But to the extent we can cooperate, we ought to do it before the Lord. So here's where we start. God, I have a problem. I acknowledge I have an issue when it comes to food. Confess it. Lord, I'm addicted to this. If you say, I don't know if I'm addicted or not, just go without whatever that food is or that coffee or whatever for a week or for a month, and you'll find out pretty quick if you're addicted or not. God, I have a problem here. I need your help. And then the second thing you want to do is determine to make a change and get a plan of attack. Have a plan of attack and realize, okay, all these things are unhealthy. As you read our book, as you go to other websites and read other things, they'll give you an idea of things that are healthy and things that are unhealthy. Some stuff we've lived with all our lives, we just think this is the only way to do it, and it's the worst thing to do. I was so food ignorant, I remember years back I decided one day to take a break from pizza and to get something healthy, so I got a steak burger and fries at Burger King. Probably a chocolate shake as well. Here's what you want to do then. By God's grace, you want to get rid of the old stuff. If you need to wean yourself off of it, or if you can do it cold turkey the way I did, you want to get rid of the bad and you want to replace it with good. And what's amazing is that God has put things in the body that are incredibly healthy. He's put things in this world that are incredibly healthy. And when we feed ourselves those things, our body begins to respond. One woman sent us a video testimony. She just wanted to know that she's had emotional disorders and been on meds, and now that she's eating healthily, she's off her medication. Others have written to us. The book just came out in January. Within a month, they were off their diabetes medication. Others have lost 30 pounds already, and they say, I haven't felt like this since I was in my 20s. So you want to get rid of the bad, and then you want to replace it with that which is good and healthy. And again, it's the stuff that God's put in the earth. It's the stuff that he's given us, and it's amazing how he's designed it for life. And then I want to encourage you to have a mentality of being all in. I want to encourage you, if you want to have long-term success, to be all in. You renew your mind in relationship to food. You ask God for help and grace. You meditate on his word, pray and commune with him, read other stories and other testimonies that will encourage you, just like you do in any other area. But here's the deal. I was talking to my doctor when I was having an annual physical. He's a Christian man as well. And he said to me, he said, Mike, you've been blessed with the gift of being all in. And I thought, that is kind of my mentality. When I was in sin in the world, I was all in sin in the destructive way. In the Lord, all in. When I give myself to something, it's all in. And Nancy and I talked about this because she had her own radical life transformation. And then she thought, okay, I can have like one splurge day, maybe once a month or once a quarter, and measure out what I'm going to have on that, and then go back. And she did. It was fine. And then she did another time, and it was fine. But then the third or the fourth time, wherever it was, I forget the exact number, instead of one day it was two, then it was three, then it was four, and before she knew it, she was trapped again. And she started to put weight back on, and it was much harder for her to break out the second time than the first time. So I live as if I'm a recovering food addict. When Jesus set me free from drugs, I couldn't relate to people who said I'm a recovering drug addict. In fact, I judged them negatively. I said, well, you're weak. I mean, that's how I look at them. What do you mean you're a recovering drug addict? You're set free. That's how I looked at people. I couldn't relate to the mentality. But I live as if I'm a recovering food addict. No, I'm not tempted. No, I don't struggle. No, I'm thriving by God's grace. I can be in a hotel room and maybe there's a gift basket that is wrongly in there with all kinds of junk food and unhealthy stuff. It doesn't even dawn on me to touch it. But I live as if I'm a recovering food addict, meaning I don't know what would happen if I ate unhealthy food. Maybe I'd get sick, fine. But maybe I'd like it. And maybe that would open the door of temptation. And Nancy would be on these forums with others who were looking to transform their relationship to food and read the same story over and over again. I was doing great for months. I was doing great for years. I was just in Israel, and a woman told me that she avoided certain foods for 6 years. 6 years. And then someone convinced her, just one taste, one time won't hurt you, and she's not been able to get free since then, and it's years have gone by. So when God helps you, when you see his grace at work in your life, don't play games with it. When he gives you freedom, if the Son sets you free, Jesus says, John 8, you're free indeed. Be free in this regard too. Be free from the stronghold of food. When you experience that freedom, don't play games with it. And when you're tempted, Nancy gave me this counsel. Say to yourself, you can eat whatever you want, just not today. And that would lift the pressure off in those early days. Great, I can eat whatever I want, just not today. And then you get through that crisis, and then you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. But I have no desire to find out, well, what would happen if I had chocolate ice cream now? Or what would happen if I had a slice of pizza? I'm pretty sure I'd get sick because my body's only used to healthy stuff. But what if I liked it? What if it's like, oh, you're missing this. You could have this again. And what if it opens up a door to temptation? So once you're free, stay free. Once you're free, enjoy the grace that's given to you. And if you do that, you'll find a path to lasting freedom. Obviously, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not here as a health expert. I'm here to testify. I'm here to encourage. And more than any book I've written, this, the first Nancy and I wrote together, it's about 30 books now. The stories we're hearing from people are the most gut-wrenching, amazing stories, the most incredible testimonies we've heard. This is a universal problem in our culture, a universal problem in the church, in America, in the West. And by God's grace, it's time for change to come. And perhaps God sent me at this time to encourage you to take those steps to a transformation in your own life. So we're going to pray, and then I'll stick around to answer some questions. But let's pray first. Father, I pray these words would be words of life and encouragement and help. I pray, God, that faith would rise. I pray that there would be a fresh resolution. I pray that something would ignite within us that says enough is enough. Being a slave to foods, my stomach is not my God. Jesus alone is Lord. May that be real in our lives. May there be encouragement. May there be faith. May there be conviction. May there be motivation. May there be lasting change that comes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.